This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bean Cooley, sitting in for Terry Gross. We're observing Veterans Day today. Kayla Williams was deployed to Iraq in 2003 as an Arabic linguist assigned to a signals intelligence team with the 101st Airborne. She enlisted in the military in the year 2000. Her friends were surprised. When she was younger, she'd been part of the defiant punk scene. Her memoir about what it's like to be young and female in the Army is called Love My Rifle More Than You. She writes about the terror, tedium, and camaraderie of war, and about being a young woman serving alongside lustful young men. Terry's interview with Kayla Williams was recorded in 2005.
You write in your book that you knew you were there to help people in Iraq, but you often felt like you were hurting them, or at the very least that they perceived it that way. And you write about the tension of wanting to help the locals, but having to do battle with them. You say you even pointed your weapon at a child. What was the circumstance that made you feel you needed to do that?
We were on a convoy. At this point, we didn't even have doors on our vehicles. We didn't have up-armored Humvees at all in my unit, and we would remove the doors so that we could have better use of our weapons. The way that people drive in Iraq is very aggressive, and people will try to pass you by driving down the middle of the road, like the grass between the two sides of the road. And sometimes people will cut between your vehicle and the vehicle in front of you, and then somebody will come out of the trunk and throw grenades at your vehicle or pop up and shoot you. And I was in the back seat behind the driver, and there was a vehicle driving very aggressively to our left on the grass, trying to cut in front of us. And I had no idea why they were doing this, if they were just in a hurry or if there was an actual threat. And I'm motioning to them with my weapon to stay away from us, to not get too close to us, to not try to cut us off. But they were continuing to drive very aggressively. And I was raising my weapon into the aiming position because it was a very intimidating and intense moment. And then the passenger turned and looked at me, and it was a child. And I immediately lowered my weapon. I was horrified. I felt very guilty. And I waved at him, and he waved back. And it was just one of those moments when I felt this intense disconnect between what we were supposed to be doing and what we were actually doing, and the difficulty of trying to protect yourself and my colleagues, and having to try to make a difference in people's lives at the same time.
You write about being a young woman with young men, men who are mostly away from women, except from the other soldiers in their unit. Can you talk a little bit about how men who you were working with related to you as a sexual being?
It varied so much, and it was so interesting to me when I could have the distance to look at it from outside almost and watch what was happening. And I definitely noticed that the men that I went out with in Iraq on combat patrols, who saw me doing a service that was incredibly useful to them when I translated for them between the soldiers and the civilians, which is not my job, but I did with pleasure, they always treated me as a soldier. And even months later, when they would see me, they would say, "Hey, you're our linguist in Baghdad." They always remembered me for my ability to do a job that was helpful. But men who did not get to see me doing a useful job and saw me infrequently definitely thought of me as more an object or just a girl. "Hey, you were that chick that was with us in Najaf," or something like that. And very much would sexualize me and the other women that I worked with, coming up to us and offering us coffee or just wanting to talk to a girl. And then the guys on my own team, the guys that I served with and lived in the same truck with and was with every single day, it just disappears in a sense almost. They're more like your brothers or close friends. You see them constantly, and it's funny because they almost don't want to acknowledge that you're a girl because they work with you so closely. I remember one point up on the mountain, They said, don't stand where the wind blows the smell of you to us right after you've taken a shower, when you actually smell like a girl in America. We don't want to smell your lotion or your shampoo. Go away. Because they had gotten to a point where I didn't seem like a girl, but that was such a poignant, forced reminder.
What are some of the ways that you feel you were changed physically, emotionally, in terms of what you want out of life by your service in the military and the time you spent in Iraq?
I'm stronger. That is the biggest and most obvious change, is that I know my own strength.
Are you talking about physically or beyond physically?
Both physically and mentally and emotionally. I know now that I can handle myself in a crisis. I'm tougher than I ever knew that I was. I can handle extremes of temperature and deprivation of, in terms of sleep and physical comforts, in a way that I had no idea that I would be able to not only handle, but handle fairly well. And I know how privileged we are in America. We are just desperately privileged. We have so much, and I have so much more of an appreciation for how much we really have, how wealthy we are as a nation.
Kayla Williams, speaking with Terry Gross in 2005.